listening to the Local Earshot Podcast with your host, Jonathan Grissom. Let's talk about music.
Hello, everybody. This is Jonathan Grissom with More Bands Media and the Local Earshot Podcast. I am here with Zimmeru and two of the members of the band. I believe one of you is the bassist. And then...
Yeah, it's me.
Okay. And what is your name?
Lanny.
Okay. Yes. And then what's the other?
I'm Daylan, and I am the vocalist.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Yeah, I looked over your website just now, just kind of get an idea and listen to a few songs and everything. I noticed that you guys do somewhat of the theatrical thing where you guys have like some costumes and stuff like that.
That's me.
That's pretty cool. I follow this one artist that I'm really good friends with. Elizabeth Turner, and she does a lot of that. Like she does like change outs, like costume change outs throughout like her whole sets. It's crazy.
Yeah, we only really have. I've only done the ringleader costume change once because I bought that stuff off Amazon, like the jacket and the hat, and then I hand glued like over 12,000 rhinestones to that to put the fire shapes on it. So I've only got to use that at one venue, but we do that Beverly Hills, the Weezer song, and every time we hear that. I go backstage real quick and put on this like gown and like a little one of those like throw fluffy scarf things that they wore back in like the old Hollywood days, and like I roam around the crowd with it and like I like dance with people sometimes out there. So
nice. Yeah, that what is it? Crowd involvement.
Yeah.
Crowd involvement's really important. I know that I go to ACM, so like we learn a lot about like the actual business side of music and like what goes into actually producing a show and like what actually draws fans in and stuff and actually gets people coming back to shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that uniqueness and stuff like that. Just kind of tell me a little bit about the history of the band, where you guys started and then like, where you're at. I saw you're from what, Grove, Oklahoma?
Are you all
from Oklahoma?
Yeah. We've all lived here our entire lives. So, we formed this band in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So, because she had been playing bass for like a couple years, and so for her birthday, our dad bought her
a full size
bass because she'd been playing long enough. So she got a new gift, and it's a replica of a bass that Flea played in the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And so my dad was like, if you have a Flea bass, you have to play Flea. So he picked a Red Hot Chili Peppers song, and then he picked a few other like 90s rock songs that he thought would suit my voice. And that's how the band started. It was just a three-piece. It was me, her, and our dad. And we were kind of like acoustic rock is what we called it, because we didn't really have a drummer. But then we played at this open mic, and there was like another band there, and he was like, do you need a drummer? We're like, sure. So he sat in, and we played with him
for a while,
maybe like a year and a half or so.
Yeah.
But then he couldn't make every gig, so we had to have a backup drummer. And eventually, the backup drummer became like our regular drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And we played with him for a bit, but then we started having scheduling conflicts with him. So... when it came time for recording, we got another backup drummer, and now he's our full drummer, and he is, like, fully committed to the band. So, the drummer you see with us now is the full-time guy, but... And our first name was Puzzle Pieces. So we were Puzzle Pieces for...
You can see the thing.
Like, yeah. for like a couple years. But then when we started, when I started like writing stuff, when we were like, we want to put this on streaming platforms, we discovered there was another puzzle pieces already on streaming platforms. So
yeah,
we
totally get that.
We were told we could trademark the band name if they hadn't trademarked it. So then there couldn't be any like legal disputes, but we were like, there could still be,
they could
like,
still sue us.
There could still be like confusion too, if people were going to try and find us once we put stuff out and they see two bands. So
yeah, the issue with band names that a lot of people run into is like, say that somebody buys a domain name, like a website, and it has the same name as your band, even if it's just like a product, like one of the bands I like hang out with is Hollis Band, and like they actually have a company called Hollis, and then there's another artist that's a pop artist called Hollis, and the problem is Hollis is a common last name. So it's like there's a ton of people with that last name. And so it's like they had to start calling their websites like Hollis Band instead of, because Hollis was so famous that she could technically sue them. And it's like over the name. And so you have to add to it. It's like a, you know, like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Like they had to add a certain name to it because there are certain rules or whatever and copyright and everything like that. Because I even have the same issue with more bands that I can – technically, there's a whole group of like hip hop and rap that use it for a term that means rap of money, like a hold of money. And so like it means more bands or more bands of money. Right. And so like technically I could sue all of them and I'm not going to, I don't care. Yeah. But like, but it's one of those things that like if somebody was actively using it for what it is, which is music promotion, then I would obviously, you know, do a cease and desist on that. But a lot of times when you're finding a new band name, that's the issue a lot of bands run into is that like that you'll find that they're copyrighted or that there's already a band that's big that already has a name. So then you have to like try to find something rare and unique.
Or even then you could have just like confusion, even if there was no legal issues, people trying to find you and then like two different bands pop up. Yeah. So about a year ago is when we changed the name to Zimmaru. And that came from the three of us, so like me, her, and our dad. We have an ancestor whose name was Zimmaru. She was a full-blood Cherokee Indian. So we thought that was it's a cool name.
It's very unique.
It's a cool name. It's very, I mean, and it fits the, you know, it fits Oklahoma. And
we did change the spelling of it, though, so that people would pronounce it right. Because her name was spelled Zimmerhew. We're like, no one would pronounce that right. So we changed the spelling so people would pronounce it right. But, and so then we have, it's kind of.
Oh, sorry.
You're
go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say it's cool because then we're tying in like our own like history into it. So it's a cool little thing.
Yeah, no, I always thought that was funny because, like, when you're reading certain band names, like the metal bands and stuff, half time the actual fonts that they choose, you can't read them. And so, like, to me, I'm like it's all part of it. Like, if you really want people to follow your band and know who you are, then it's like you have to choose good fonts. You got to choose like a good name, you know, and then it has to stand out. So then, like, people will remember it, you know. And then they'll keep on following because of that. So,
yeah.
So, how long have you guys been playing music for, like, in Oklahoma City for, like, as, you know, doing shows and stuff? Well, I guess Oklahoma in general. Sorry.
Yeah. We've just been, like, performing, like, in, like, the bars and casino type thing for, like,
three years.
But we've all been playing for a long time. So, but like my dad, he is actually a bluegrass musician. That's where he started. So he's played a lot of the bluegrass things. But we've just now merged into like the more like rock type stuff. Yeah. So like we've just been doing this for like 3 years now. So we're We just now kind of started getting into the casinos a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad circuit to get into, honestly.
No, it's just...
Like, I don't know. They say that a lot of, what is it, in, I mean, because you can go the opposite route, I guess, but if you're local, like, the bigger artists, they actually end their careers in casinos. Because, like, they said that they, what they do is they, like, they go through all the different, you know, places to play, festivals, you know, venues, all that kind of stuff across the world. And then, and then whenever they get toward the end of their career, they end up on the casino circuit and they play all the major casinos. And then they end up, you know, getting spots in like Vegas and things like that. So, so, I mean, it's not a bad like track, honestly. It's good. It's good money, at least stable, you know, coming in. So,
yeah. They definitely do pay more than the majority of bars.
Yeah. And, well, and I know another circuit that they would talk about is the college circuit, which is like, I was told never do that. So I don't know why. I don't know why they would say that. No. Like it's, they say that the college circuit, I guess that it costs too much money to do. And so you end up spending all your money on the trips, trying to get across the country to play these shows, even though that it pays well, you end up like spending all your money on the trip. So it's like they said it's not the best thing to do, but a lot of books tell you to do it, like to do the college, I guess the go to a website and then go to all the college gigs and everything. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a person that does music. I'm a promoter, so I don't know like exactly all the ins and outs of everything. But the guy I used to do the show with, he's very like about, he's a blues guitarist, so like he was always about like talking about instruments and all sorts of stuff, and then a lot of people didn't understand what we were talking about. So it's kind of funny because like all musicians love it, like they'll talk about instruments and music and stuff like that all the time, but like me, I talk more about like the show side of it, you know, the actual, like business side of it. Let me see. Sorry. This is my first time like doing a remote like this in a long time. I'm kind of off, and today's been like raining in Oklahoma City, so it's been crazy all morning. So let me see. And you said that music falls under like a rock style type style. What kind of genre of rock does it really fall into?
We say alternative rock just because that kind of covers a lot of ground. It's a really broad term. The covers we do like some 90s grunge and then some like classic rock. Like we do a couple like Van Halen and Heart songs. And then, like, our originals, some of them are kind of, like, I call it folk rock. Like, kind of folky, but still kind of rock. And then pop punk, like, 2000s pop punk. So, like, Avril Lavigne and, like, Fall Out Boy and, like, Green Day style type stuff. So.
And you guys do mostly covers? Or do you work in your originals and then?
We put... There's one song that we have on the album that's like a piano ballad, so we don't do that one at the shows because we don't like hauling a keyboard around for one song. We throw in all the other tracks on the album, just like merge them into like our covers, since we typically play for like 4 hours at these gigs, so we can't really do all originals, but we're playing in Joplin, Missouri next Friday, and it's like a 40-minute set, so we're just going to do all originals at that. I love our originals a lot, and we're having scheduling conflicts with getting into the studio to mix. We have one song left to mix. And we cannot get schedules to line up so we can go and finish it.
if you can, like, because I know a lot of artists, like, they struggle with this, like, speak to, like, the whole idea behind, like, getting in the studio and recording, you know, with that. Because, I mean, I know, like, you're kind of, you're on a time crunch because you have to, you have to do it in a certain amount of time. You're paying for your time when you're in the studio. So it's like you want to make sure it counts. And then on top of that, it's like the amount of stuff that can get in the way while you're trying to record an album and stuff. Cause a lot of people think that artists just go into albums and record in a couple weeks and then they're good to go. And it's like, sometimes it can take up to a year for some artists to produce an album, you know? So, I mean,
and then when you're at our level, we are not busy enough with music for it to sustain us financially.
Yeah.
So we all four have our own jobs that we have to do.
Yeah.
So it's trying to work around all that and everything. We don't have that much money in our band account. So it's we go to the studio and it drains it. So we have to play a show and try and build it back up. But we literally have one song left to mix and then it will be done. And then we'll probably release a single, maybe two, before we release the whole album. Yeah. But I'm just ready.
I mean, I probably message you guys the one link that I have, but I have this one guy on YouTube that does release schedules for stuff like that. Like when you're doing a Spotify release or certain things like that, when you're doing singles. So then you actually do it in a way that will get you the most listens, the most everything, possibly on some playlists, things like that. Cause a big part of that is cause I've heard many different ways of doing it. There's some artists that do it where they will release a single and they'll have a release schedule and it's about 3 to 6 months on a release schedule, but it's every few weeks, every 2 to 3 weeks, they're releasing a new single. So then you have your whole album, but then you say 2 weeks, release the first one, and then another 2 to 3 weeks, you release the second one, but you build up between the two. So you're you press that one until it's pretty much everybody's ears hearing it, and then the next one, you hit them with another one, and then you just keep on doing that, and you keep on gaining traction as you do that. And then when you finally put out the album, then you have a release party of the album, and then usually you can sell a lot of albums during those release parties because the people have built up liking all the songs that were on that album.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's one way to do it. There's over 100 different ways to do it though.
I've noticed,
I'm literally learning how to start a record label right now. So it's crazy. So
I've noticed when we're playing shows, the covers and stuff, the crowd is usually they're just chilling still, not fully paying attention, just kind of. But whenever I'll say this next one's all for upcoming album, they pay attention and they so far we've got really good reception for all our originals.
Well, when you say that you have an album that you're working on, it gets people intrigued, I think.
It's fun to see. I mean, obviously, they don't know the song, so they can't sing along with them. But they always get a loud applause, and they're always dancing to them and everything. Nice.
That's good. Yeah, no, that's good.
My hard work has paid off. I started writing this album a little over a year ago, so I'm happy.
Yeah, it's definitely a big deal whenever you see the reactions of the audience, interact with the song. Cause then you kind of understand what you did it all for, what the hard work that you did.
It kind of helps us when trying to pinpoint, what do we want to release as the single? Cause you can base it off of which of these songs gets the most reaction when we play it live.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
I fully
agree with you.
But.
Yeah, because I don't know, out here the issue that I don't know if you guys have in a lot of that part of Oklahoma, but what we have out here in the city is we have this regional thing where it's Oklahoma City, Yukon, Norman, those, I guess, and Edmond, but all this area out here, what ends up happening is that it gets saturated. So the same artist will play the same venues over and over. And people stop going. They stop going to shows because they're like, they want to see something new. Yeah, and they're playing the same songs, you know, over and over again. Yeah. So that's why I say it's important to produce new music, just because it kind of lets people know that the band's actually actively doing stuff. Whereas a lot of bands, one of my friends' bands, they told venues that they don't market, they don't do any of that stuff. They are a party band, so they just get up there and play. And half the time, it's really funny because, like, there's been moments where, like, they've totally forgot their songs or, like, messed up. And they just kind of look at each other and go, bell, bell. And they just all get up on stage and walk off. Like, they like, it's insane. Oh, no. Like, and I'm sort of like, you guys need to get better about that, because you're going to end up ticking off some crowds at some point.
Yeah.
Or you're going to stop playing places. So, but I mean, think they're in the studio right now.
Well, that's good. Yeah. The thing about messing up is, it's going to happen. It's part of live music. You just got to keep going.
You just got to act like it didn't
happen. Act like it didn't happen. Half the time, they won't notice.
They won't notice.
Unless it's like a terrible mess up, but like, if you just glide along, and even if it's a bad mess up, you can just be like, well, that was the wrong key. Yeah. Let's try that again. Like,
you can just shrug it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen what was it? I forget the name of the artist, but it was like a Louder Than Life festival. And it was a major artist, and like something happened. And I mean, the guitar, everything went down. And and this stagehand, he jumped up there. He grabbed the cables. He had it wrapped around his arm. He ran over to her. He took this guitar, plugged it in, tested it real quick, handed it to her, didn't miss a beat. Like, it didn't miss the beat of the song at all. And it's like, and it was just quick. And it's like, just knowing that, you know, like, if you can recover like that, that the audience loved that. Yeah. Like, they love that recovery. Yeah, yeah. I saw one with, what is it, Sign of Lies did that, where they were at Diamond Ballroom, and they had an issue. And I mean, he recovered that phenomenally. Like nobody even noticed that there was any issue with the music, and they just kept playing. But like, literally, if you were watching the guitarist, he's over there messing with his equipment, like doing all this stuff to make sure that everything works out. What we used to always joke about over the last like 3 years of doing this, like, that it's true, like, the actual audience, they don't notice the mistakes that the band makes or things like that. The only way that they're going to notice, and the one people that kind of control a venue in a way that could hurt the band, is a sound person. Like, if they're not good, solid sound people, then that's whenever you run into that issue of people noticing. I mean, they do notice that room, like studio room sound is like extremely important. So I mean, I took a whole live sound class on that. So I mean, I definitely know the importance of like making sure that your band not only sounds good in their like, you know, in their ears, and if they're using in-ears or they're using the wedges or whatever, but also like that the room can actually hear it, and that vocals are supposed to be higher than the instruments.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't see it that way, so they just like shoot everything up to the same level and stuff.
Yeah.
And it just sounds...
We've definitely played a few shows where they're like, we have sound man. It's like, okay. And then it's like, that wasn't great. You just kind of vibe with it, I guess.
Yeah. It's like, not really anything you can do.
Yeah, because you're like, hey, can I get some more in my monitor? Can I have you turn that up a little bit? Can I get my vocals
up? You
don't
get more in your monitor. It's I hear is like the guitars on my monitor. I'm like, well, I hope I'm singing at the right key right now. But
right.
You just gotta roll with it.
Yeah,
roll with the punches.
Yeah.
So, let me see. We're about halfway. Let me see about playing one of your songs. So, I have on your website, EPK. Pulled it up. It goes to your Google. I have. Was it Rain Rain Puppets? Where Did You Sleep Live? And then there's like this live sampler. So
I don't know. My dad did all that. I'm not sure what quite all is in that. Is the Rain Rain ones? Is it like, are they live videos?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they're live.
I don't know if they're live. Like, hold on.
I don't know.
I'll play a little bit of it. We can always cut this out so then you can hear it. Okay, well, I guess I'll cut it in after. But yeah, the song Rain Rain.
A good old pop punk song, like it's just it's short and sweet. I say it's fun.
Okay, sorry about that. I think it's working. Yeah, it's working now.
Okay.
It's just really really weird because like the sound that's coming from the computer is going through the USB and then it's going through the mixer. So I'm hoping that all it's right. Getting all the recording. I'm doing like multiple recordings right now. There's like the one on the software in there, and then I got cats doing crazy stuff now. So that's fun. All right, so let's talk about this upcoming, I guess you call it a tour, like what you guys are doing on here. It shows like tour dates. It's like a.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's up?
So, yeah, we've, started to kind of branch out of the area a bit by just calling venues in different places and asking if they'd be interested in giving us a shot. We're like, here's a link to our EPK if you want to listen to us, Facebook, whatever, check us out. And some of them mm-hmm. have actually said, like, yeah, we'll yeah. give you a chance. So we're going to Illinois this summer. I'm excited about that. I just hope that's we don't awesome. Have a bad day or something. Yeah. And next Saturday, we're going to be in Pittsburgh, Kansas. So that's another new area we're going to step into. Mm-hmm. We got one in St. Louis. And that one, we'll do St. Louis on a Friday night, and then the next Saturday we'll be in Decatur, Illinois. So
yeah.
I think it's going to be fun getting to load up in the van and go. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, the tour game, like, one thing I can always say about that is just, like if you don't have AAA, just get AAA. Because, like, if anything happens, they will tow your vehicle up to 100 miles. So, like, you know, so it's kind of a useful thing to have.
We're hoping by the time summer rolls around, we'll have the album, we'll have CDs, and we can maybe sell some CDs when we're up there. And we're going to get, like, new merch and all that. So we're hoping to get our name out there.
Yeah.
Gain some fans. And get our music heard, pretty much. Because I'm proud of what we've made. I think it's been a fun year or so with the band. And recording and getting to play bigger venues. Like, we played at the Tulsa State Fair last fall.
Yeah.
It was on a Monday night on a little, like, side tent type thing, but
international beer.
It was fun, and we gained a pretty decent sized crowd at a take my picture with random people.
Those places are actually worth playing. Okay, so you guys got the tour, and then, let's see. And then, so what else is coming up for the band, like, other than that? So you guys are trying to finish out the recording and then do that. Do you guys have any future plans, like, what your, like, you know, I guess, like, your year plan or any of that kind of stuff?
I think our goal and plan is to just try and keep playing and get more dates on the calendar. So
there's a few venues out here. I could probably put your name over too. Have you ever heard of Incom?
Maybe.
It's in Norman. It's like there's a guy, Christoph Murdoch, runs that. That one's pretty good to do. And then we have one. It's over in the community, like the LGBTQ community area, but it's called the A2 Gallery. It's like a art gallery, and they have like a venue in the back. They do a lot of shows, and then it's privately owned. And then let me see. And then there's Lost Highway, obviously Blue Note, all those places out here. But I mean, I could probably put your name over to the group, you know, and try to get some. I was in there. A lot of times, a lot of them follow my show, so then they'll see an artist on here, and then they'll reach out. They'll say, "Hey, cool. I saw you on here. You know, you guys want to come play?"
Yeah, we're just trying to play to whoever will book us. Yeah, there's a lot of the bars and stuff like up here in like Grand Lake area. They mainly either want like solo or duo acts. They don't really want the full rock band.
And they also want country.
Yeah, they like singer-songwriters.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they like the singer-songwriter acoustic guitar.
I've played at a few like songwriter showcase nights. Like, played in one in Tahlequah and like one in Tulsa. So it was like just me up there with my acoustic guitar. But don't know. Just trying to get our name out there. And when I do any type of solo type performances, I like request that I be put on like the flyer or whatever as Dalen Ray of Zimmeru, like not a solo act. I'm trying to push the band because that's
I know my friend Megan Marlene, she does like, what is it, Mega Marlene music, and then she does Mega Marlene and Ban or something like that, the Mega Marlene Ban. So then you know the difference between her playing a band show versus like her acoustic like solo stuff. But she's also really big on the what do you call it, singer-songwriter circuit, where like there's a lot of those going on here, where there's like different bars and venues and breweries that do their nights. And so those people actually get more work than everybody else, because they even know that a lot of times they're open mics. They're getting tips and everything. They're getting more work.
My thing is, if it's just me on my acoustic guitar, these songs don't sound hardly anything like they do on like the album or anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to push these as like fun little like acoustic songs when they're really like pop punk songs or like,
right,
I call one
right.
of them a glorious rock ballad. So it's like,
there's something to be said about that. Now, like some music, it does, like if you break it all the way down the guitar, like it sounds really interesting, because it's like you can make it sound like an acoustic song, but then like if you add all the instruments into it, then it changes the whole.
Oh yeah,
like aspect the whole, of the song, like just
the whole vibe and mood and everything.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And
which,
I mean,
all of these.
And the thing with Oklahoma though is that I have noticed is that and I'm born and raised here, but I left for like a very long time. I was in the military and stuff, so there's a big scene here with like the whole singer songwriters, single artists, things like that. The reason why I was asking the question about covers is because I had this guy in a bar one night, and he was saying I wasn't listening to him, but I was totally listening to what he was saying. I was trying to understand what his argument was, right? But
yeah.
I'm not like I like whenever bands do covers. I don't like cover bands. If that makes sense. And there's only one cover band I do like. I like Karma. Karma are really nice dudes, and they're really good, and they can do a lot of variety. But their main focus is covers, right? That's their thing. And the thing is that in what we notice here and most parts, and I'm pretty sure it's the same way across the US, is that cover bands get pretty much the majority of the shows. And if a local band's not willing to do a few covers, then usually they can't book shows. And so I have friends that refuse to play covers, and they're not playing shows. But then I have friends and bands that are like, yeah, we got a few covers that we play, but they're booking shows. And it's like, and so I don't know why that is, but like there's just this thing about like people like to hear, I guess, familiarity and nostalgia.
They want to
like
know the songs that you're playing.
Yeah, they want to be able to sing along with it. And
so we just
so that and I mean, even mainstream artists do covers.
Oh yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But this guy was like so mad that cover bands were booking all the shows and he was never getting any bookings. And
but like,
you know,
if people don't know the songs, they're not going to have a good time, because you want to be able to like sing along and know the stuff. So we try to mix them in. We'll like do some covers, and then we're like, this is ours. Here's another cover. We try to do like familiar covers, like not the random like deep cuts that you only know if you listen to this album.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah. You just gotta blend it in.
Right. Okay. Well, I was just trying to, you know, just trying to understand, because like I don't know like, you know, a lot about that stuff. I just know that like a lot of people here, they I don't know, in Oklahoma City it's big, like cover stuff is pretty big out here.
Yeah.
And then like original music is kind of on the secondary out here. And
yeah, it's
so, like, yeah, but what we try to do as a group that, you know, a group of like people that are doing the promotion, venues, all that kind of stuff, is that we're trying to work together to create a scene. And the idea is that we're trying to grab all the artists from Oklahoma or around Oklahoma, you know, and just kind of put them in a way where they can actually book shows and like people actually know who they are and things like that. Cause one of the issues that I was running into at ACM was I even tried to do like a, what was it, Tower Theater. And I was trying to do like an idea that was like, It was like women of Oklahoma music, you know, all local mm-hmm. music, all women, singers, vocalists, whatever. And our teacher said, well, they don't have the numbers. And I was like, the numbers? And he goes, Spotify. And I said, no one in Oklahoma listens to Spotify. And he goes, what? And I go, these people pack houses. I was like, they pack yeah. bars, they pack venues. Half the people don't listen to these apps. I was like, young yeah. people listen to these apps. But I was like, but a lot of people, like a lot of times what you find out is that a lot of the people that are coming to these shows learn about this artist through a you know, a singer-songwriter thing, or they saw them randomly at a bar one night. So mm-hmm, you started yeah. following the band. Like they didn't yeah. start listening to them on Spotify or, you know, no. or these other platforms. And so I know that that's a big hurdle that a lot of people are running into now, because they're booking shows for these bigger venues. They're booking shows of artists that become famous on like TikTok and Spotify yeah, and yeah. all those platforms. But then they get mad whenever no one shows up. The shows are the actual ticket sales or aren't there. And yeah. and then whenever I look at it, I go, well, what are your demographic? Like, who's listening to their music? And they're like, oh, well, most of the people that follow them on you know, TikTok or whatever are teenagers. And it's like, okay, so they don't fall in the category of people that can afford to always go to shows or can yeah, afford exactly. that, or their parents are the ones paying for the ticket or whatever. Yeah. So they're not actually a target customer. So yeah. like, you know, in a way they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot, because they're not going, yeah. they're not listening to everything. They're not getting to know all the artists that they have around them. They just try to book the ones that they think are popular. And
yeah. And that's the thing.
To me, there's a lot of new music out there that's great. So
yeah. That's the thing we've kind of ran into a few times, is like people tell us, oh, you need to get like your followers up on like Facebook and all that. And it's like,
yeah,
we've done that, but just because you have like thousands of followers doesn't mean they're really actually listening to your music, and doesn't exactly. mean they're gonna actually show up to gig. It's, I don't know. It's definitely a tough landscape to try and
navigate,
get somewhere in.
Yeah. But we almost need a social media manager that specializes in just that. Yeah. You know,
we need that.
Cause, I mean, because there's a book by Ari, this guy Ari, he's known in the music industry, that like, it's called Making It in the Music, the New Music Business or whatever. And in it talks about, it, like, you know, the different parts that a person needs. They need a band manager, they need a lawyer, an entertainment lawyer, they need these people, a publicist, you know, they need all these things. Mm-hmm. But one of the things on there that's been added is social media manager. And it's like, it's yeah. like, yeah, like you literally need people that understand social media through and throughout, because yeah. I've been doing it for 3 years. And somehow all these other groups in Oklahoma have like, you know, 2,000 people in them. My group has 500, but yet like, ooh. Or like 400 and something, but yet my group is actual people that really want to be there and learn yeah. about music. Whereas their groups, a lot of times a big portion of it's bots. And so I've actually like, what was it? A couple of different groups, the Society for Blues, things like that. Like they've asked me to come in and get rid of all the bots that were in their group, because yeah. there were just massive amounts of them. And so you had to like go through and use the algorithm to like type in something so then it will delete them all and get rid of them or block them. And it's a pain, because like it's a double-headed sword. It's like you want people to find you, but then yeah. if you market yourself, then there's a possibility that you'll get flooded with fake bots. And then yeah. if your following goes above 1,000 or whatever, then that's the numbers that Facebook requires to even start to even monetize a little bit, you know? And, yeah. and I know it's not all about money, but it's like, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you want that ability to do those things so then you can keep on doing what you're trying to do. And, yeah. and a lot of times those people will, like those fake profiles, they'll drop out. And if they drop out, then your listener base drops. And then people think that you're being defollowed, when in truth, you're actually just losing fake profiles that were on your group, you know, or your page or whatever. Yeah. And so, I mean, I know that definitely is a struggle. And then people like rigging, you know, Spotify numbers and stuff. Like there's a lot of things that's what they call phone farms. It's where they take a bunch of phones and they hook them all up and then they play a certain song and they'll play the same song on like 30 phones in a room. They'll all be going to different networks. So like they're all different accounts and they're all different networks, but they get paid to do that. And big record labels do that. They do it on a level with software where they are like making thousands upon thousands of listens on famous songs. And then those artists get paid, or like there's artists doing things even on the big level where they'll put out five different versions of the same song, but just different versions. Oh, yeah. They take over the entire top 10 and everybody goes, obviously this person's famous because the top 10, they're playing the same song over and over again. They're fixing the numbers. And so it's like local artists don't really get that. They don't get that, ability to actually, you know, have that chance to do those crooked things that the industry is doing. They can barely even get their music heard, much less like get pumped up on playlists to the point where where like their stuff is being seen by everybody, when in truth like that artist may not even be as famous as everybody thinks, you know. And so that's something that like that one of my goals, you know, what I do, that I'm trying to make it where people actually hear new music and learn about new artists, you know, at the beginning, because it's definitely not the easiest road and not everybody can do it. So, you know, it's like, and so I definitely praise any artist that's willing to get up there on stage and, you know, cause it takes a lot of guts to do what you all
do. It takes
like,
time.
Honestly. So
you just gotta be patient. I always say, I mean, if it's gonna happen, if we're gonna make it big or whatever, it's gonna happen. We just gotta wait and just keep doing what we're doing.
Perseverance.
If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, then
at least we tried.
At least we tried. If someone else ends up liking the album, I like it, so I'll listen to it.
Right? It's like one of my friends said, he's like, I like listening to my music, so I'll listen to my music.
We have like the files like sent to us after studio session, so we can listen to them and see if there's anything else we want to change. And I'll just like listen to those and I'll be like, oh yeah, this is me. This is awkward. Now I'm singing along to my own song.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty, like, I don't know how it is with music, like people that do music, but like, whenever you do things like what I'm doing, like, it's really weird listening to yourself do this over and over again, because you have to, like, you have to go and re-record it, and you have to check it for, you know, the levels and all the stuff. Yeah. But when you're doing that editing, it's like you're listening to your voice over and over again.
Yes, that's, like, in the mixing process of the album. It's like I have like three or four different vocal takes and we're like seeing which one's the best. And I'm like, there'll be one that's like really bad. And I'm just sitting there like, And it's like everything else is muted and you just hear my bad vocal take playing. Whatever.
All right. Well, we'll wrap this up here. I usually shoot for about 50 minutes. Is there any like socials or anything like that you want everybody to know about to find you online?
We just have a Facebook and an Instagram.
I think we have a TikTok page too.
Instagram and TikTok, we do not get very much response on.
No,
we get the most response on Facebook.
Yeah, we need people to go follow the Instagram.
Show up.
Follow Instagram.
We have Facebook too.
I'll push that.
Facebook
one.
And Instagram.
I think YouTube too.
Yeah, you guys do have a YouTube because the website has YouTube videos on it and stuff. Yeah, at least you guys like you have an EPK, you have a website. That's like one of the number one rules in the business. Like it's like one of the first things that like we all tell artists to do is that, because they'll be like, oh, I'm not on the web, and it's like, you don't have your socials, you don't have your website, you don't have like it's like you gotta have a website. Like that's not that's not an option. You know, and it looks very well put together, has all the pictures and stuff of everyone, and has like What a like these videos like is that 40 West or no? I don't know. There's like a stage, like a what do you call it? It's pretty nice.
It might be Grand Lake Casino.
Yeah.
Okay.
Over here in Grove.
Yeah, it's really nice. It has like a state, like a bass riser in it, like drum riser. It's like all.
Yeah, that would be
purple. Yeah, yeah. Grand Lakes. Like Casino,
is what it says on here. Yeah, that was fun.
That's really. It's pretty nice. I've never actually been there, so.
Yeah, it's a cool stage. It was a fun venue. So.
All right. Yeah, I'll do my closing after. So then we'll just end this interview, and then I'll do my little stuff. So you don't have to sit through me sitting here, telling people to like because basically what I do is I run on donations. So it's like I have to like do my little donational thing. So, but yeah, it was good to meet you all, and definitely look forward to hearing you all and stuff. You have any shows coming up in Oklahoma City?
No, we had.
I know you guys just played one, right?
No, we had a prospect, like a venue, reach out to us to open for some band, like in May. But
I don't think we've done
anything with it just yet. So we never played down there yet.
Gotcha.
We were just maybe.
And then you got Tulsa State Fair. Oh no, that's all 23rd. That's 23. Never mind.
Yeah.
Wrong dates. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, it was good to meet you, and I look forward to listening to you guys later on.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.